Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
This content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion advised.
I lived pretty close by to this house, and I'd walk around this part of town frequently, and I had never seen these two in my life. I'm glad nothing bad happened to us, but something tells me that everything wasn't quite all right with that house.
Over the years, the way he gleefully described killing that woman could replay in my mind.
From Killer Podcasts, true tales of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. This is Disturbed. Hello, and welcome back to the show. This week, we're bringing you four stories that will have shivers running down your spine. So sit back, listen closely, and dive into the horror. First, a story narrated by Paul Brown from Reddit user AffectionateRip8956. My true scary story.
It was probably the summer of 2010. I was 15 or 16 years old at the time. My neighbors and I snuck out on a school night to walk around and smoke some joints and cigs, you know, typical rebellious teen stuff. The whole night we told scary stories, but not ghost stories. At some point, someone brought up this string of sexual assaults that happened in our neighborhood in the 70s. There were some kidnappings involved too. Really, really dark stuff. We didn't mean anything by it, though. You know, we were just all trying to scare each other. And it was around 1 a.m. by the time we decided to go ahead and head home. And we were walking down a long stretch of street, making our way back. There were very few streetlights, and the lane was lined with big, tall oak trees. The sky was overcast that night, too, and it felt pitch black as we walked. It even started to rain. So, a little ahead of us on the other side of the street, a hooded figure came out from the front door of a house and started walking in the same direction that we were. I clocked him pretty quick, but I wasn't sure if my eyes were playing tricks on me or not. I could barely make out the figure crossing the street through the rain, stopping in front of our path. I told everyone to cross the road to avoid them, but as soon as we did, this person crossed back and approached us under the dim streetlight. To our surprise, when they removed their hood, it was actually a beautiful, red-headed woman, probably late 30s or early 40s. She didn't smell of alcohol, but was probably drugged up based on how she had no reaction to the dark or the rain. She seemed very, aloof, and seemed to gaze into my soul in a weird way. She started asking us things like, "Why are you out so late? Where do you live? Do your parents know where you are?" Then she actually tried to make an advance on me. She tried to grab me and pull me into her, but I was very paranoid and on edge, so I stepped back and just said, you know, don't touch me. I was so focused on this strange lady that I missed a man walking up to us. He looked to be in his late 20s and donned a light blue Yankees ball cap. He was walking with purpose, too, with a cigarette in his mouth, and he was taking wide strides coming down the sidewalk. He walked right past us on the sidewalk. We didn't pay him any mind, but as soon as he heard us telling this woman to piss off, he stopped in his tracks and came right up to us. He was a larger man, very serious. I was intimidated. He demanded that we tell him what she said to us. He kept repeating, "What did this woman say to you? What did she tell you? Tell me." So we filled him in on the whole situation, and it seemed to calm him down. He thanked us and started after the woman who had taken off back down the street past us. He pulled her back into the house she emerged from, kicking and screaming. We were all silent as we watched the front door to that house slam shut behind them, leaving us under this dim lamppost in the rainy dark. We all made our way home in a similarly silent step, just wanting to put this strange night behind us. Well, I lived pretty close by to this house, and I'd walk around this part of town frequently, and I had never seen these two in my life. I laid in bed all night that night, just replaying the event in my head. What did she want from us? Why did that guy want to know what she told us? I never saw either of those two ever again after that. We had just been talking about, you know, kidnapping that evening, so it was fresh of mind, but what if that's what was going on here? My friends thought that maybe they were trying to get us, but he decided it was a bad idea or something. I mean, I don't know. Either way, it was a freaky encounter. I'm glad nothing bad happened to us, but something tells me that everything wasn't quite all right with that house.
Our next story features a haunting encounter all the way from the Isles of Greece. Narrated by Brian Jeffords.
My dad doesn't believe in the paranormal at all. He is very logical and tries to use common sense to understand things. He is also religious. This encounter, however, is something he really can't explain even to this day. His friends also witnessed this event. This encounter happened in Greece, in the Greco-Turkish border area during the summer of 1969. The village my father was living in had recently been electrified at that time, receiving power and commodities like street lamps. Before that, much of the Greek countryside had no access to electricity or running water. This was a big upgrade for the village and its residents' living conditions. My dad and his friends wanted to see how the village looked from afar with the lights at night. The area was very safe at the time, with no wildlife like wolves or bears residing there, and with no threats from people either. Parents allowed children to wander as much as they wanted. My dad and around 8 to 10 children, ages 5 to 16, left around sunset. Around midnight, they decided to return home. The way back included a sunken-in strip of dirt road. There was a local legend that this strip of dirt road was haunted by the spirit of a Greek collaborator's wife who was brutally murdered by getting spiked on a wooden pole by insurgents during the World War II German occupation. Her spirit was said to take the form of an Orthodox priest. On this particular night, there was a bulldozer parked in this spot. When the group of kids reached this spot, they stopped. They started to feel afraid, and the temperature suddenly dropped. They continued walking, slowly, speaking loudly, and singing in an attempt to combat their fear. They'd made it halfway down the dirt road when one of the older children looked over his shoulder at the bulldozer and saw an Orthodox priest in full uniform suddenly appearing in front of it. The face wasn't visible, and it was hovering several feet off the ground. It started following the group at a steady pace, with a distance between them of a few yards. The boy froze in fear, but didn't say anything to the rest of the group because he didn't want to upset the younger children. Before long, another boy turned around and saw the priest as well. He panicked and screamed, "Ghost!" Everybody else panicked and started running. They ran for a mile and a half, with the ghost following at a steady, hovering pace a few yards behind. When they finally reached the village's first street lamp, they were all exhausted and stood there panting underneath the light. The ghost stopped a few yards away, and for a few seconds, both the ghost and the kids, they just stared at each other. And the ghost vanished into thin air. Other villagers had also seen this priest with the same description and characteristics. It was a well-known legend back then. Some of these children are still alive today and have confirmed this story to be true, recalling the same events my father's told me. There are no modern reports or encounters with this specific ghost today. The area is now heavily guarded by border police and the military because people cross the border illegally and there are reports of robberies and other crimes. A midnight excursion to the site is now virtually impossible and extremely dangerous.
You're listening to Disturbed. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the podcast. Our next story is narrated by Cesar Brazil from r/paranormal. Respect the advice of those with a lens to the spiritual.
I live on a Venezuelan island in the Caribbean called Margarita. I've been here for most of my life, but I was born on St. Thomas Virgin Islands, actually. A lot of the people here in the Caribbean are still very rooted in the original human experience. Some don't even use technology. They're just about nature, fishing, drinking with neighbors on the beach, celebrating their religious beliefs, what you would find people doing 100 years back. Maybe due to their disconnection to the digital world, it is very common to find people with special gifts. I mean, witches, clairvoyants, seers, you name it. I've never surrounded myself with those kind of people, nor will I, but I just had this experience a few weeks ago and it blew my mind. It was Monday evening, around 11 p.m., and I was at the beach with a pal and a group of girls who were visiting the island for the first time. We were having a nice time, drinking a couple beers, and one of the girls asked me if I had any cigarettes. I smoke sometimes, but I didn't have any cigarettes on me. I was determined to fill this girl's request, hoping to make her like me better, who knows. The problem is, finding any bar or shop open at 11 p.m. Monday is basically an impossible task. But I still tried. A valet at a nearby hotel told me he'd take me to a place if I bought him half a pack. I agreed, so we hopped in a car and drove off. We got to the place, A few blocks down the road, I walked in and asked the cashier for two packs of Marlboro. A woman was sitting in the bar, maybe in her 50s. She had piercing dark eyes and seemed to be a little drunk. She smelled like rum, and her red cheeks contrasted sharply against her dark skin. She greeted me, and we started talking about how Marlboro was better than other brands of cigarettes. She then locked eyes with me and told me that even though I live here on the island, I wasn't born here. She told me that something was latched onto me that was taking good care of me on the other side, and that's why I've survived my near-death experiences. I was silent, but internally I was completely shell-shocked. I had never met this woman before, but she seemed to know everything about me, down to some scary experiences I had as a kid. I considered my words for a second, then told her that if something's watching over me, then it's probably good, right? She laughed, extended her hand to shake mine, and as she shook it, she was sort of rubbing it. Her eyes went blank as she did, and that's when I felt chills all over my body. My heart started racing, then she stood up, leaned into me as if she wanted to tell me a secret, and whispered, "There is a longtime buddy of yours who knows about the good and bad things that happen to you. He cheers when you fail and hates it when you flourish. The entity you have with you will show you who that false friend is and end the friendship on terrible terms. Do not hesitate to do what you must." At this point, I already had my cigs, was scared shitless, and just wanted to get the hell out of there. So I thanked her for the advice and left. The days passed, and I never gave the encounter any deeper thought until I had a huge fight with a friend of 10 years and blocked him everywhere, never to contact him again. I won't get into the details, but it was a friend whom I had helped for years who told me I wasn't his friend when I couldn't lend him money for the 999th time. It was quite a showdown. We were pretty close to physically hurting each other. Even then, I didn't make the connection between what the lady at the bar told me, but with a little time, it hit me. She nailed every single detail. Even the timing was on point. It's like she read my life without me even having a clue of what she was talking about. I don't know if she was a witch or a sage or what, but it made me realize there really are other forces in this world, and I worry what might be happening to us, what already has happened to me, since we can't see them happening without someone like that old woman at the store. I went back to tell her, but she wasn't there. The clerk was another man, someone young, and he didn't recognize her based on the description I gave. I hope, wherever she is, she's saving someone else from a sad fate.
Our final story is from r/creepyencounters about coming face to face with a murderer. Narrated by Brandon Alexander Smith.
In 2002, when I was 16, my parents went on vacation. While they were gone, I stayed with my older sister, Lisa, at her apartment with her and my 8-year-old niece, Sarah. It was during fall break, so Sarah and I were out of school. Since it was only a 2-bedroom apartment, Lisa let me sleep in Sarah's room, and Sarah slept in Lisa's room with her. On this particular morning, Sarah and I had both slept in. She was so excited that I was staying with them, she wanted to stay up all night watching Disney movies. So we did. Lisa had fallen asleep on the sofa, so I picked Sarah up and put her in Lisa's bed, and then I went to bed myself. The next morning, I woke up to a man's voice. Lisa's boyfriend, Gary, had a very recognizable deep voice, kind of like Vin Diesel.
but this voice wasn't Gary's voice at all. This voice was an older man, and he sounded very agitated. I went into the living room to see who was there, and I saw the man sitting on the love seat closest to the front door, and Lisa was sitting in a chair adjacent to the love seat. The man looked to be in his 60s, and his shirt and jacket were nearly covered in blood splatter. She shot a fearful, surprised glance at me, as if she had forgotten I was there. The man stopped talking once he noticed Lisa had looked away from him. I made eye contact with him, and he smiled. Then he placed the gun that he was holding onto the coffee table in front of him. I couldn't move. I didn't know what to do. My first thought was to get between him and Lisa somehow, but I knew I had to stay where I was because he would have to get past me to get to the bedroom where Sarah was sleeping. I searched the man's face, trying to figure out who he was. He looked familiar, but I couldn't place him. He broke the silence.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody else was here. I'm Eddie, Gary's stepdad.
I faked a smile and gave a weak wave. He took out a cigarette and lit it. Lisa was still sitting on the sofa, seemingly bracing herself for whatever Eddie had planned. Eddie motioned for me to sit down on the bigger sofa across from him, and I obeyed. He took out a bag of weed and some rolling papers and began to roll a joint.
You smoke, youngster?
He asked me. Lisa spoke up. No, he doesn't. That's my baby brother. He's only 16. Eddie laughed, looked at Lisa, then me, and said,
Damn, what the hell y'all feeding these kids? That's a big motherfucker.
Lisa laughed nervously. Eddie joined her, seemingly unaware of how uncomfortable we both were.
Oh, shit. I got sidetracked. Let me finish telling you what this bitch did, Lisa.
Eddie went on to tell Lisa that he had just shot and killed a woman he knew because she stole $100 from him the previous night after he had passed out drunk at home. He said he knew it was her because he had pistol-whipped Gary's mother and made her tell him who went through his wallet while he slept. He then told Lisa he regretted not killing Gary's mother because he felt like she had set him up. He said he'd also shot the woman's husband but was unsure if he was dead. He laughed and said he knew for sure the woman was dead because her head exploded like a smashed watermelon. My stomach was in knots. I was sweating and I could no longer hide my fear. I heard Lisa's bedroom door open. From where I sat, I could see Sarah walking across the hallway into the bathroom. Eddie looked in the direction of the hallway.
Damn, Lisa, who else is here?
Lisa spoke quietly. It's Sarah, please, Eddie. You know I don't allow smoking around her. Can you go on the patio with that? Lisa's voice trembled, and Eddie must have heard that fear in her voice because he replied,
Girl, what you scared of? I ain't gonna do nothing to you. You good people. I just wanted to come see you before I go. You know the police is probably looking for me now. But I just couldn't leave without seeing my favorite spades partner.
Eddie smiled as he stood up and gathered his bag of weed, the joint, and the gun. I heard the toilet flush and then the sound of water running in the bathroom. I began to pray that Sarah wouldn't come out here before he left. Eddie must have read my thoughts because he said,
Don't worry, young blood. I'm going to get on out of here before that baby can see me like this.
Lisa and I both stood up as he walked out the door. Lisa opened the door for him and he walked out. We both watched through the window as he got into his car and drove away. Lisa quickly grabbed the phone and called 911. Sarah came out of the bathroom and asked if the scary man was gone. Lisa said yes and hugged Sarah. Sarah began to tell me she never liked Eddie because he acted strange and looked scary. When she heard his voice on her way to the bathroom, she stayed there because she didn't want to come out and see him. I was pacing back and forth, trying to process what had just happened. Lisa explained that Eddie was a drug addict and an alcoholic. Gary's mother had kicked him out, but he would keep popping up at her house. Lisa was already aware that Eddie had attacked Gary's mother because Gary had called to tell her. But she didn't know he'd killed anyone until he had shown up unexpectedly at her house. Eddie was arrested shortly after our encounter, and we had to talk to detectives. They told us the man he shot had died on the way to the hospital. Over the years, the way he gleefully described killing that woman could replay in my mind. He died in prison not long after he was convicted of the murders.
Want more Disturbed? Check out our Patreon for member-exclusive content, early merch access, and other cool perks. I'm your host, Doug Bailey, and this has been Disturbed, a production of Killer Podcasts and part of the Evergreen Network. For more paranormal and true crime shows, visit killerpodcasts.com. Follow our social channels at Disturbed Podcast on Instagram or Disturbed_pod on Twitter. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing and reviewing on your favorite listening platform. Share your own true horror story at DisturbedPodcast.com. Music by Epidemic Sound and by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Our producers are Noah Fouts and Elizabeth Flood. Our audio engineer is Nathan Corson. Executive producers Bridget Coyne and Gerardo Orlando. Until next time, stay safe out there.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.